The writer of the Hebrews, closing this book, says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. Funny, isn't it? I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all God's people, and those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all. And here ends a reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon us. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word, for the privilege of being together this morning. Lord, I pray now that you would open your word to our heart, to our mind, to hear from you this morning as we once again turn to your word for strength, instruction, comfort, and hope. Lord, your word is our life. Your word is our strength. Your word is what we hold on to in hard and difficult times. So, Lord, from your word this morning, we just pray that our hearts would be encouraged and blessed, that we can say it truly has been good to be with you this morning because we've heard you speak to our hearts again today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Final words of instruction are often, when someone has final words to say, they want to say something most important to us, something that we will remember, something to leave an impact in our life. I still remember the final things, my words my mother said to me. And a lot of us remember final words that were spoken to us because they were carry some great meaning or strength to us. As the writer of Hebrews was bringing this letter to a close, he gave some final instructions to the Hebrews that he wanted them to remember and to be encouraged by. He had spent, as he says, only a short letter, but we had been in this letter for almost a year. But as he gave his words, writing to them a word of encouragement, to encourage them to continue to be faithful in the midst of hardship, little did we know when we began this, and when the Lord laid this on my heart back in the beginning of this year, to preach through Hebrews, little did we know that this would be a challenging year. Little did we know, and I know at the time, that we were going to need a word of encouragement. We sure needed a word of encouragement, didn't we? And all that we've been going through this year, little did I know, but God knew. And this letter was written to be that word of encouragement, to continue to look to the Lord, continue to trust in him no matter what we face, no matter what hardship arises around us, to continue to look to our Lord who remains faithful. Knowing that with Jesus, we had the best we have. Encouraging the Hebrews not to give up on Christ, but to continue to press forward in their faith. Living a supreme faith because with Jesus, we have the best. We've seen that. We've been encouraged time and time again through this book. And now we come to the final chapter, the final few verses. And in it, he gives us his final instructions for us. And the author closes his letter with six instructions that we can take into our life to be encouraged by this morning and apply that we can learn from as we bring this book to a close. First thing he tells us, as we continue our faith in Christ and we continue pressing on for him, living for Jesus every day, is to offer praise to God each day. Good practical instruction to live by. And no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, continuing to offer our praise to God. Paul had told the church to rejoice in all things, and again I'll tell you, rejoice. Not when things are just going well, but rejoice even in the difficult times. And God wants us, you and I, to offer our praise to him. Notice what he says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise. Now, does he say there, let us offer a sacrifice to praise sometimes? Or let us offer a sacrifice to praise when things are going well? But he says, no, let us offer to God to him continually, means all the time, bring our offering a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Because God is good in all things, right? And all the time he is good and we can praise him. Offering our praise to God each day through what we say, which is the fruit of our lips. He said, which is the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Offering our praise to him, we began this morning, to God be the glory. The scripture has said that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. So offer, take a time, opportunity, each day, begin each day as you're getting up in the morning, putting your feet down on the floor. Begin that day with a day of praise. Say, Lord, thank you for bringing me through the night and giving me another day, right? At the end of the day, before you go back to bed, say, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can be together this morning. Every day we have something to praise God for. So make it a habit in your life to offer praise to the Lord, an offering of praise to him every day for what he's done for you. In the good and in the bad, through what we say, the fruit of our lips, but also through what we do in the goodness of our lives. Notice what he says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Now, when the Hebrews understood a sacrifice as an animal, they would bring their animals to God to the temple, and the animal would be killed, it would be put on the altar, and that's what they thought of as a sacrifice. But he said, no, the sacrifices that we bring to God is our praise to him and the good works that we do for him, how we live our life every day. And the goodness of our life is a sacrifice of praise to him. Romans chapter 12 says that, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord, holy and acceptable unto God, who is our reasonable act of service. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, says that whatever we say or whatever we do, do it in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So living each day as a sacrifice of praise to God. What we say, the goodness we do, you realize in the goodness you do and how you live your life is a sacrifice offered to God each day. So that's the first thing he reminds us, is offer a sacrifice of praise to God every day through what we do, what we say. Second, support your leaders. He says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. I chose this picture here because this is a picture, if you remember from the story, of Moses. Whenever he had been leading the Israelites through the wilderness, they were now engaged in a battle. Moses was up in years, over 100 years old, been leading the nation for quite some time. And it says that they were in battle and Joshua was leading the troops, and as long as Moses held his arms up, the troops were winning. But it said Moses grew tired, and when he grew tired and his arms came down, the troops would lose. So his brother Aaron and Hur came on both sides of him and held his arms up and gave him support so that he could keep his arms up. And that's what the writer here encourages us to do, to support our leaders. And the leaders that's talking about here is the church leaders, your leaders in the Lord. And to submit to their authority because they have been given a great responsibility. He's reminding the writers of the recipients of this letter that their spiritual leaders over them, their pastors, their teachers, their in this case, Sunday school teachers, board directors, board leaders, have been put in position by God and have been given a great responsibility. And to support them and to submit to their authority because they must give an account. The writer of James says that those who teach the word of God are going to be given, have double accountability or authority because God has given me the authority, the responsibility of teaching the word of God to you and instructing, making sure that it's truth. And so the writer, the recipient of the letter says, support your leaders, submit to them because God puts that burden, that authority on them of making sure of the word of God is being taught. And also obey their instruction because they watch out for your welfare. He says, obey them so that their work would be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. He's encouraging the recipients of the Hebrews to submit to their leaders and obey what they instruct in the word because he said, if you make it difficult for their leadership, then their service to you is a burden. I can say to you that it's not a burden for me to serve here. You all have been and continue to be a joy for me and Kim. And we love you dearly and the love that you have for us. And it's not a joy, it's not a burden, it is a joy. But because we look out for your welfare and your well-being. He says, as a shepherd taking care of his sheep. So supporting our leaders in prayer, and I covet, Kim and I covet your prayers when you come alongside us and just know that we're praying, you're praying for us and supporting us in all that we do. And that's important. The third instruction we have is to pray for one another. It goes on to say in verse 18 and 19, pray for us. And we are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. And I particularly urge you to pray that I may be restored to you soon. Now, as we've said before, we don't know who the writer of Hebrews was. We don't know for sure who wrote this letter. Some people think it was Paul. Some people think it was Apollos. Some think it was Barnabas. A lot of different people have been proposed. But obviously, the recipients of this letter knew exactly who it was. Because Paul was, whoever was addressing them, he says, pray for me that I will be restored. So they knew who it was. We don't know, but they did. But the point is that we need to pray for one another. And as we do, pray that we will each live the way God wants us to. As you're praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ here in the church, and as the Lord lays a fellow believer on your heart, or as you're praying for someone else here in the church and they're on your prayer list and say, I'm praying for Gail today, and the Lord needs to lay my heart to pray for Gail today. Here's what the Lord wants you to pray for, that we will have a clear conscience and a desire to live honorably. So as you're praying for one another, pray that each one of us will be live the life that God wants us to be, that we'll live in a way that honors him, that our conscience will be clear before the Lord, that we'll live in godliness. That's a good thing to pray for each other, isn't it? As believers, to pray for the church that we all will be Christ-like in what we do and say and how we live our life and be like Jesus. It's a good thing to pray for. Praying for that, but also praying for needed restoration. Because he says, pray that I will be restored to you soon. We don't know where he was, but for somehow he was separated from them. He might have been going through some kind of hardship in his life, and he needed restoration. And he was asking the church to pray that he would be restored. You and I need to pray for each other for needed restoration, for those times when our strength needs to be restored, our hope needs to be restored, to be restored from sickness, to be restored from maybe when we've fallen into sin in different ways, that we know when a brother or sister in Christ needs that restoration. Pray for them for that. Pray for each other that we would be restored in our strength, restored in our hope, restored in power, restored with what we need. Praying for one another, supporting our leaders, offering our praise to God. But he also encourages us to let God's peace, let his peace rule our heart. as he gives his final instruction, he says, let his peace rule our heart. He says, may the God of peace, and he gives this beautiful benediction in verses 20 through 21, when he says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, that he may work in us what is pleasing through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He gives this beautiful benediction of peace. And he's encouraging us and reminding us to let his peace fill our heart and to rule there, because he is Jesus, who the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought Jesus back from the dead. To know that the God of peace sustains you, the God of peace fills you. And our Lord, that's one of the ways he's called, is the God of peace, the Prince of Peace. And let his peace take in control of your heart. Tell you, in the times in which we're living, in any time, we need the peace of God reigning in our heart, don't we? The peace that the world does not understand. The peace that the world cannot comprehend. It's that peace of God that keeps stands guard on our heart and mind when we're not anxious about anything, but we learn to give, change those anxieties into prayers, and we take them to the Lord, and his peace from the God of peace will stand guard on our heart and on our mind and fill us. And when we let his peace rule there, he will encourage us, because it said the God of peace, who brought back Jesus from the dead, our great shepherd of the sheep. And he's saying about how peace, the resurrection of Christ, gives us that hope of peace. And it encourages us, knowing that we have a Lord who lives. He was brought back from the dead. He died and he rose again. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. And he lives. And because of that, his presence is with us now. And that's an encouragement to us, knowing that our risen Lord, your risen Lord, is with you and in you. Your risen Lord will never forsake you. Your risen Lord will never abandon you. And your risen Lord is with you always. And that's an encouragement. And his peace stands guard there to encourage us in all that we face. It also equips us and enables us. And equips us because he says, let his peace equip you with everything you need for doing his good will, that he may work in us what is good and pleasing. And when God's peace guards your heart, he equips us with all that we need to face the hardships, with all that we need to do the will of God, with all that we need to please him. And that word equipped there is a word that means to put everything back in the appropriate condition, to repair or to restore. And when God's peace takes rule in our heart, he puts us back into his original intention for us. It's a word that was used, that fishermen used to describe a net that had been broken, and a net that needed to be mended. And the net was created and made to catch fish. But whenever a net got a tear in it, it wasn't effective anymore. It couldn't catch the fish as they desired, so they had to mend it to restore it back to its original tent so it could catch the fish again. Or Larry, whenever a car breaks down, the mechanic, uses his skill to get the car running again, because it was created and manufactured to get us where we need to go. But whenever it breaks down, we need Larry to repair it for us, to get it back to its original intent. And that's what God's peace does in our heart. That his original intent for us was to love God, to glorify him forever. But sin has come in and it has marred that. But when his peace, the God of peace, and we have that relationship with him, it restores us back to God's original intention for us. That we are equipped to do what is good, because we don't have that ability on our own. And God equips us and restores us back to our original intent to serve him. And then it enables us. It enables us to do his work in us, that he can work in us and through us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory. So let his peace rule your heart. don't be anxious. I know it's easier said than done. We see all that's around us, and the anxiety levels can go up. But he says, don't be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition, bring those requests to God. And let his peace rule your heart. When he does, he will encourage us, equip us, and enable us to do what is pleasing to him. And embrace the word is the fifth thing he tells us in his final instruction. Embrace his word. Accept his truth to our heart. Verse 22 says, brothers, I want to bear with you. Bear with me, I urge you, to bear my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. He encourages that word bear means put up with, endure, receive, embrace my word of exhortation. He was writing to them this letter to encourage and to exhort them in the faith. And again, I made that humorous statement, but he said, I've written you only a short letter. This was pretty long. But he said, accept what I have to say because this is coming from the Lord. And embracing the word means to accept its teaching. That as God, through his word, speaks to our heart, encourages us, accept what he has to say. Receive it as an instruction from the Lord. Receive it as his care for you and his love for you, that he's speaking to you because he loves you, because he wants what's best for you, and because he wants to encourage you. And accept it as coming from the word of God himself. To humbly receive the word that's planted in us, and to embrace his teaching means to apply its truth as well. Not only need to accept it from God, but to apply it and live it out. And he is encouraging the Hebrews to put into practice what all they've learned. It was a long letter and was very deep and was very detailed. But he said, apply it to your life. Continue to run that race. Continue to be faithful to the Lord. Continue to put into practice all that you've learned. Because as we've heard from Hebrews, faith without works is useless. Hearing the word of God and not putting in practice in our life is not effective. So embrace it fully, live it out, and apply it to our life. And the sixth instruction he closes this book with is to celebrate God's grace. Celebrate the grace of God that transforms and changes us. And he said, I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come to see him with you. Come with him to see you and greet the leaders and all God's people, and those from Italy send their greetings, and grace be with you all. Celebrating God's grace, what a wonderful truth and what a wonderful practice to every day not only offer that praise to him, but celebrate the grace of God that makes a difference in our life, that sets us free. And where would we be without it? Because celebrate his grace that sets us free. He said that Timothy has been released. Now, we don't know. This is the same Timothy that was a spiritual son that traveled with Paul. So apparently the writer of Hebrews knew Timothy, and they knew Timothy as well. And apparently Timothy had been in prison. There's no record of it in the book of Acts. We don't know where this in prison happened because there's no record in the scripture about it except here. But apparently Timothy was arrested for the faith and now has been released and set free. It says celebrate that fact and that the grace of God in releasing him. And as we apply that to our life, we celebrate God's grace that sets us free. That we've been set free and released from our sin, from what bound us, from what held us captive, and through the grace of God, we have been released. Released from that burden, released from that penalty, and that's something to celebrate, isn't it not? That we have been released. Celebrate God's grace that we have been set free. Grace that sets us free, the grace that makes us one. He said, greet all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send their greetings as well. He's reminding them that they were all one in Christ, and celebrate the unity that we have because of God's grace that makes us one family. And we celebrate the fact that we are one in him, that through Jesus we are united. We are one. We love one another, and his grace brings us together in a strong bond and something to celebrate. And celebrate that grace fills our life. His last statement was that grace be with you all. That God's grace fill you, God's grace be with you, sustain you, that it's the grace of God that we rejoice in, that it fills our life every day and blesses us. I say so often, where would we be without God's grace? Where would I be without it? Where would you be without it? Just think of that this morning, that his grace that just fills us and blesses us. So offer your praise to him. Support your leaders. Pray for one another. Let his peace rule your heart. Embrace his word and celebrate God's grace. Good reminders and good practical and final instruction as we close this book of Hebrews, but not continue to close that race. Because we continue to press on, we continue to go closer to Jesus, we continue to follow him faithfully in the midst of whatever happens in our life around us. Because no, with Jesus, we have a supreme faith. With Jesus, we have something far better than anything the world has to offer us. And with Jesus, he gives us strength that we need to continue to offer to him that sacrifice of praise each day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are our hope, you are our strength, you are our salvation. We thank you, Lord, that through you, you give us strength. Through you, Lord, we have all that we need. And we've learned so much in this book of Hebrews about the wonderful God you are. That you are greater than the angels. You're greater than Moses. You're greater than all the prophets. Because through you, you are the word of God you have spoken. And you are our only hope. In the midst of all around us, Lord, may we continue to look to you. Continuing, Lord, to praise you. Continuing, Lord, to follow you faithfully. And set our hearts and minds on you. Offering to you each day a sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving, and glory to your name. Continuing, Lord, to look to you, our God, for strength that we need in the midst of hardship. Continuing, Lord, to celebrate your grace, praying for one another, and supporting those in need. So to you be the glory. May in all that we do and say, live lives that are pleasing to you. And may you, the great God of peace, who brought back Jesus from the dead, our great shepherd of the sheep, fill each one of us with the peace that we need to restore us, to equip us, and to do your work in us, what you want to do through Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray. Amen.